At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Midnight has passed. And in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
There are people who spend their whole lives searching for a sign, a flicker of movement in an empty room, a whisper in the dark. Anything to prove there's more to this world than what we see. He never had to search. For him, the strange arrived early, quietly, patiently, almost politely, not as an apparition in the corner or a shadow looming over his bed, but as a soft murmur just behind his ear, a phrase he hadn't thought of, a name he somehow knew, an answer he couldn't possibly have studied for. He was a child the first time he realized he never really thought alone. There was always a second voice, then a third. Eventually a dozen A quiet chorus moving with him, staying just out of sight but never out of reach, as familiar as his own heartbeat. It didn't frighten him. It shaped him. These voices guided him through exams, whispered translations in languages he'd never learned, tugged at his attention when danger was near. They felt wise, ancient even. And no matter where he lived, Australia, Europe, halfway around the world, they never left. They followed him like a private constellation only he could see. He didn't call them ghosts, not at first. They were simply companions, invisible, constant, and impossibly loyal. And as he got older, he realized something unsettling about loyalty. Sometimes it demands things back. He grew up hearing sentences most people needed classes or textbooks for. A line of middle French here. A phrase of archaic Latin there. Not the academic versions you'd see in lecture halls, but older, stranger dialects. The kind scholars recognize instantly because they're wrong, but wrong in a way that means older than anything in your curriculum. A lecturer once stared at him, stunned, and said, "No one speaks that form of French anymore?" He didn't know what to say. He'd only repeated the whisper that slipped effortlessly into his mind, as that was how it always worked, a nudge, a whisper of a full complex answer handed to him, as if someone were leaning over his shoulder during an exam. And he used it. Because why question the thing that keeps you afloat? The guidance wasn't only academic, as sometimes the voices saved his life. He remembers one day at the beach, sunlight bouncing off the waves, when a friend invited him on a quick snack run. Nothing unusual. A 2-minute drive to grab chips and drinks, he'd stood up to go, and the whispers turned to shouts. Not words at first, just a surge of panic that wasn't his own. Then a single command, "Don't go." It was so forceful he physically stepped back. His friend laughed, rolled his eyes, and jogged to the car alone. He never came back. The accident was sudden, violent, fatal. And while everyone else tried to make sense of the tragedy, he sat there knowing, absolutely knowing, that something had intervened. Something standing just behind him, unseen but unmistakably real. Life moved on, degrees, another degree, and eventually a doctorate. He became an HR manager known for an almost unnerving accuracy when it came to reading people. He could walk into a room, meet a stranger for 5 seconds, and somehow know exactly what they were hiding behind their smile. Colleagues called him perceptive, intuitive, borderline psychic. He never corrected them. How could he possibly explain that while they talked, laughed, argued, pretended, 12 distinct voices stood behind him, narrating every truth they concealed? "She's lying." He's angry. That contract is going to fall through. "Say this, not that. Trust me." It was like having a committee advising him at all times, and a committee no one else could see. And they weren't always calm. Sometimes their guidance was urgent, pulsing through his mind with a pressure that demanded to be listened to. A subtle turn of the head, a warning he shouldn't ignore. A subtle shift that kept him from walking directly into disaster. He learned early that coincidence rarely explained anything. His aunt, a self-proclaimed medium, a bus doctor, once pulled him aside and said, "You've got something with you, you know, something old, but I can't see it clearly." She looked uneasy, which was funny because he wasn't. He'd never associated these presences with fear. They were protective, helpful, constant. He didn't know loneliness because he'd never been alone. The moment he slipped into silence, they were there. When he felt discouraged, they buoyed him. When he faced decisions, they guided him with answers sharper and clearer than his own thoughts. There was love in it too, not romantic or familial, something older, steady, like a tether no time or distance could sever. He'd lived across 2 continents, moved from city to city, country to country, and they followed him everywhere, except once. Tintagel, Cornwall, the old castle linked to Arthurian legend. His family was sightseeing, walking ancient paths carved into the cliffs. The wind was sharp. The ocean below roared like something alive. And for the first time in his life, the voices grew faint, distant, then gone. He panicked. He froze. He felt naked without them. But just as fear began to scrape at his nerves, a single thought drifted in. Not a whisper this time, but more like an impression. "We cannot go here, but we will wait for you." He didn't understand it. He still doesn't. What kind of presence could follow him across continents, yet be unable or unwilling to enter a place built in the 12th century? And why did they obey boundaries he didn't even know existed? These beings, and whatever they are, never gave him their names, never explained why they chose him, never revealed whether they were human, inhuman, something ancient, or something else entirely. But he knows 12 of them. He knows the timbre of each voice, the weight of each touch. He knows when one drops in unexpectedly. He knows that they learn, adapt, grow, just as he does. And above all, he knows they want him to succeed, to survive, to move exactly where he's meant to go. Sometimes that direction was small, a nudge toward the right answer. Sometimes it was life-altering, like the day they told him it was finally time to leave a marriage built on obligation rather than love. He listened and he left. And within months, the woman he'd dreamt about during university reappeared in his life as if gently pushed into his path. Coincidence. He doesn't believe in that word anymore. Because whether these presences are spirits, guardians, something ancient, or something that simply found him long ago, they've woven themselves through every stage of his life, and tonight as he lies in bed, he can feel them standing behind him, as close as breath, as familiar as thoughts, waiting for what comes next. By the time he reached university, the whispers were less like background noise and more like a second operating system. Running behind his thoughts, he'd sit in a lecture hall, half listening to a professor drone on about some obscure concept, and feel one of the voices quietly rearrange the information in his mind, streamlining it, filing it, sometimes correcting it. That's not quite right, one would murmur when a lecturer skimmed over something. He's simplifying. The real issue is... And suddenly, he'd know the deeper nuance behind whatever was on the slide. He hadn't read the extra source, he hadn't done the additional research. But when he raised his hand and spoke, the professor would pause, tilt their head, and say, "Exactly." He coasted through exams that should have crushed him. He'd stare at a question, feel panic rise for a split second, and then feel a familiar calm wash over him. It was like someone gently taking his hand and guiding the pen across the page. A phrase here, a date there, a citation he'd never consciously memorized. He knew how this sounded, cheating. Voices giving him answers. But the strange thing was, when he'd go back later and actually study the material, the things he'd written weren't nonsense. They were accurate smart, sometimes better than what the textbook said. It wasn't just trivia or lucky guesses. The whispers understood the content. They weren't making him appear intelligent. They were making him more intelligent. Languages were the strangest part. He never sat down with a book and thought, "I'm going to learn Latin today." It didn't work that way. Someone would speak in French or Italian or German, and before he could panic, something inside him just stepped forward. Words appeared, sentences formed, he'd speak, and the other person would blink, surprised, and say, "I didn't know you were fluent." He wasn't. They were. He'd walk away feeling like he'd watched someone else control his mouth, not in a possessed horror movie way, but in a collaborative one, a hand on his back steering, a translator in his ear feeding him real-time lines. He never felt invaded. He felt augmented. It's easy to overlook how strange something is when it's always been there. He didn't sit in bed at night asking, "What are you?" He wasn't lighting candles or taking notes or trying to categorize the experience. Life was busy. There were assignments due, rent to pay, jobs to land. The whispers made all of that easier. When people praise you for being sharp, quick, adaptable, you don't stop and say, "Actually, I have a spectral study group living in my skull." You nod, you smile, you accept the compliment, and you let the unseen hands keep doing what they do. He graduated twice, then went on for more. Every step of the way, they were with him. The first real crack in that comfortable arrangement came in his personal life. He wasn't the type to fall deeply, head over heels, in love easily. Attachment didn't come naturally. Maybe because he'd never felt alone, never needed another person to fill that void. But there was a time in his life when responsibility landed on him like a weight he couldn't ignore. He'd been seeing a girl. It wasn't epic, fairy tale love. It was messy, complicated, human. And then she got pregnant. That changed everything. Suddenly, it wasn't just about what he wanted. It was about what was right, what was fair, what kind of man he was going to be when life got hard instead of convenient. The voices had opinions. Do the right thing, they insisted. Step up, stay, support her. Support this child. This is the honorable choice. So he did. He stayed. He built a life around a relationship that, on some level, he knew wasn't the one he'd dreamed of. The days blurred together. Work, stress, obligation, small kindnesses, quiet disappointments, not abuse, not horror, just misalignment. Two people trying to make a life work that never quite fit. Is there? And through it all, the whispers stayed calm, approving, as if they were checking off a cosmic box. "Yes, you did what you were meant to do here." 5 years passed. One evening, while he sat alone, exhausted, staring at nothing in particular, something shifted. The same voices that had once pressed him to stay began speaking in a different tone. "You've done enough now. You've kept your promise. You've honored your responsibility. It's time to go." He argued with them, silently, because that's the only way you can argue with something inside your own head. "Leave?" he thought. now, after all this time? And yes, they said, you are good, you are honorable, you've stayed longer than most would. But this is not where you're supposed to spend the rest of your life. Go where you're meant to be. There's a point where even your resistance runs out. He left. It was painful, messy. There was guilt, confusion, grief for what could have been. But there was also a strange sense of relief, like stepping out of a room you didn't realize had been too small for you. For a while, he stayed single. Not lonely. He didn't know how to be truly lonely, but unattached. He focused on work, on himself, on figuring out who he was outside of obligation. And then she appeared. A woman from his university days, someone he'd admired at a distance, half crushing on her while convincing himself it was pointless. Life had taken them different directions, and he'd tucked that version of what if into the back of his mind. Now she was suddenly there again. It didn't feel random. It felt orchestrated. The voices didn't shout this time. They didn't need to. There was a quiet current of approval running under everything whenever he thought about her, talked to her, considered where it might go. Yes, they seemed to hum. This aligns. This is where you're meant to be now. He wasn't a spiritual man. He didn't light incense or talk about soul contracts or divine timing. But even he had to admit, some coincidences stack too neatly to ignore. Outside of relationships, the whispers made him almost unnervingly good at his job. Human resources is a minefield. People present carefully curated versions of themselves and hide the rest. Office politics swirl beneath the surface. Loyalty isn't always where you think it is, and he'd sit in interviews and feel a voice murmur, "He's lying about his experience. She's not going to stay longer than 6 months. He's angry and trying not to show it." He could improve those things, not in any traditional way, but time after time he watched situations play out exactly as the whispers predicted. In high-pressure meetings, when stakes were high and everyone was speaking politely, while silently calculating their own gains, the guidance became more strategic. Don't agree to that clause. Ask about the numbers again. Say less. Let them fill the silence. They'll reveal more than they mean to. Co-workers described him as politically astute, observant, almost preternaturally good at reading a room. He'd walk out of those meetings with a mix of pride and discomfort because he couldn't ignore the darker edge creeping into the realization. Where did he end and where did they begin? Were these instincts his own, or were they feeding him lines, maneuvering him into certain positions for reasons he couldn't see? It wasn't that the voices ever felt malicious. There was love there, protection, sometimes even humor. They nudged him toward promotions, steered him away from office backstabbers, softened his responses so conflicts didn't explode. But every once in a while, when he caught himself effortlessly switching into a language he'd never studied or rattling off legal details he'd only skimmed once, a small, quiet thought would surface. If they wanted to, could they ruin me just as easily as they've helped me? That question never stayed long. It didn't have to. His life kept rolling forward in the direction they gently angled it. Country to country, degree to degree, job to job, relationship to relationship. And through it all, the constants remained the same. 12 invisible voices, hands on his shoulders when no one was there. A presence at his back when he stood at a crossroads. They'd never given him a name. Never told him who they once were. Never claimed to be angels, guides, or ghosts. He only knew 3 things for certain. They were old, they were intelligent, and they were absolutely, unwaveringly invested in him. For better or worse, and there was only one time in his entire life when the voices went silent. It happened in Tintagel, an ancient wind-lashed corner of England where the cliffs feel older than memory and the sea beats the shore like a war drum. His family had taken a trip there while traveling through Europe. It should have been just another stop along a summer itinerary. But even before they arrived, he felt an edge in the whispers. Attention, like something alerting the rest of the room to be quiet. As they drew closer to the site, the voices dimmed like someone turning down the volume of a radio. He didn't mention it. How could he? How do you tell your family that the chorus of unseen guardians you've relied on your whole life suddenly sounds nervous? They reached the cliffs and the air felt different, heavy. The sky pressed low. The wind carried something sharp, ancient, untouched by the centuries of tourists who'd climbed the same stone paths. The silence was immediate, complete. He'd never known silence like that. Not in his mind, not in his body. It wasn't peaceful. It was hollow. As if something essential had been scooped out of him, leaving him standing there, small, exposed, terribly breakable. Then, like a final whisper slipping through a closing door, he heard them. "We can't follow you in there." Just that. No explanation, no warning, no reassurance. And then, nothing. He kept moving with his family, listening for anything. One voice, a breath, even a faint sense of presence, but the inside of his head felt abandoned. It was like walking into a cathedral after a service ended, when the incense has gone cold and the last echoes have faded. The absence of sound became its own kind of weight. For the first time in his life, he felt truly alone. Not metaphorically, not romantically, not existentially, literally. He didn't realize how much he'd depended on them until they were gone. Every step on that cliff path felt unsteady. Every decision, where to walk, what to look at, how long to linger, felt strangely complicated without that invisible nudge he'd always taken for granted. Fear wasn't the right word. It was deeper than fear. Like discovering your reflection has vanished from the mirror, like noticing that your shadow isn't where it should be. He wandered a little ahead of his family, trying to outrun the strange emptiness swelling inside his chest. There were tourists around, laughing and taking photos, but they sounded far away. He tried speaking internally. "Are you still there? Can you hear me?" But the thoughts fell into a void. No echo. No warmth. Nothing. By the time they reached the ruins, his nerves were stretched thin. The stone walls cut jagged lines across the horizon, and the wind whipped through them with a voice of its own. Low, resonant, ancient. He rested a hand on cold rock and felt the weight of centuries humming beneath his fingers. Something old was there. Something older than the ruins, older than the legends, older than anything with a name. He didn't know if the silence was caused by that place, or if the voices had stepped back out of respect or fear. But he could feel it, something watching him from inside the stone, something ancient and vast and not entirely aware of humans, except in the same way a mountain is aware of ants. It wasn't evil, but it wasn't friendly either. It simply existed, unmovable and infinitely old. And wherever his whispering companions came from, whatever plane or layer or dimension they belonged to, they weren't allowed to follow him there. He didn't stay long inside the ruins. Something deep in his instincts urged him out, not danger, just a sense that he didn't belong in that space and that lingering too long would be like standing under a tidal wave and pretending it wasn't about to break. When he finally stepped back onto the path leading away from the site, something loosened in the air. Like tension drifting off, like breath returning, and then one by one the voices came back. Soft at first, subtle, testing. "We are here. We told you we would wait. It's all right now." He didn't cry, but he could have. He didn't ask where they'd gone or why they couldn't follow or what exactly lived in Tintagel that silenced a dozen unseen companions who'd never cared about borders or distance before. Some questions are better left unanswered. Life carried on after that. He finished another degree, started his doctorate, settled into a relationship he'd once thought was impossible. He became the person people sought out for advice, the one co-workers asked to read between the lines, the one friends went to when they needed clarity. Still, the whispers continued their quiet work, correcting his instincts, nudging him in the right direction, tugging him away from mistakes he couldn't see yet. Sometimes he wondered why. Why him? Why 12 voices? Why this lifelong companionship that made him smarter, safer, steadier than any one person had a right to be. His friend, the one who convinced him to share his story, once asked if he was afraid of losing them someday. He didn't know how to answer that. Afraid? Yes. Terrified. But not because he believed they'd ever turn on him, or that they were draining him, or that they were some malevolent force wearing kindness as a mask. His fear was simpler. He didn't know who he'd be without them. They weren't just voices. They were history, guidance, family, companionship, a constant living presence that told him over and over that he was not alone, not even in the darkest moments of his life. People talk about guardian angels, spirit guides, ancestors, past lives. He didn't know what to call his. They felt human and not human. At the same time, familiar but impossibly old. Friendly but not always knowable. And for reasons he couldn't understand, they cared for him. Fiercely. He didn't pretend it wasn't strange. He didn't pretend it made sense. But he also didn't pretend he wanted it any other way. He'd lived in houses that weren't home, in countries where he barely spoke the language. He'd survived heartbreak, disappointment, and days when the world felt too heavy to carry. But he'd never, except in that one brief moment on the cliffs of Tintagel, known what it was like to be truly alone. And if he had any say in the matter, he hoped he never would again. Because whatever they were, ghosts, spirits, guides, echoes of lives long gone, they had shaped his entire existence. They had protected him, taught him, carried him, and loved him in ways he didn't fully understand. And if losing them meant stepping into a silence as complete as the one he felt on that ancient cliffside, he wasn't sure he'd survive it.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. More seasons, greetings to you all.